Check, check, check.
Are you done yelling at me?
I've never done yelling at you.
Yay.
Hi, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
So we are here to discuss change of address.
But hold on.
Okay.
This isn't a correction. We didn't have any corrections sent to me, so that's great. It's just an update that as of this week, I think, there was one more Blockbuster in Australia.
Right,
but
right,
that has shut down. So now Mike Jensen has driven by the only Blockbuster in the world in Bend, Oregon.
Yep.
Which is so Mike Jensen. I'm surprised you didn't like have a card in your wallet and you're like, I'm just going to rent something while I'm in town.
I think that I probably have a lot of fees. So I probably can't rent from Blockbuster.
But I also don't think Blockbuster, I feel like that Bend, Oregon Blockbuster has to be its own thing.
It probably
is. Like, they can't even, they don't have a franchise.
Yeah, I don't think, I think they just function on their own. Or like, they bought the name or something like that.
That's it. That's the only butthole done.
So this originally aired on January 20th, 2002, and we will get into it at the end of the episode. This was written by Julie Rottenberg and Elisa Zuritsky. I did a little more research on them.
Say welcome.
Yeah, no, they've been here before.
Oh, welcome back.
Yeah, they had written My Mother Word Myself.
Right, that was the episode that I said was written by two women, and you could tell.
Yes, so I did a little bit more research on them. They are writing partners.
Okay.
So when there's an ampersand in there, it means that they're writing partners. They wrote it together.
Okay.
If it says a name, the word and someone else, it means that one person wrote it and someone else came in and rewrote it.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's a little writer trivia.
Thanks, Mike.
Directed by Alan Taylor. He's been around. So we have our DVD recap. Are we just programmed? As Aiden pushes for a wedding date, Carrie's fear of commitment is heightened, leaving her to question the concept of happily ever after. Meanwhile, Samantha begins to realize that an open relationship with Richard might not be what she really wants. Charlotte attempts a new attitude and decides to spice up her routine. And Miranda fears that her maternal instinct may never kick in. A lot happens here. So we open with tea for two.
Tap glass.
When a marriage breaks up, there are numerous ways to cope. You can cry, you can move, or as Charlotte did, dive into a new routine. A tap routine.
I don't know where they are.
I don't know where they are either. Somewhere on the Upper East Side, theoretically, I would imagine. But
right.
Who knows?
I just didn't know, like, that actual studio.
I tried to recognize it, but it might not even be a studio. It might just be an empty space they rented out.
I love the guy in the yellow shirt behind her. He is loving tap glass.
I also like that Charlotte is sort of directing someone.
That's right, not right left.
Oh, duh.
Yeah. She's like, no.
Now, do you want to talk about this tap teacher now?
Let's
after?
Wait until we really get in. Okay. I wrote most. It's Andre DeShields. Like, he's a big tap dancer, but we'll maybe cover his stuff a little bit more later on.
I feel good. I even signed up for sculpture and tap dancing class because Lord knows you can't do one without the other.
So Carrie is wearing a few pearls.
Okay. There's a lot I have about Carrie's outfits in this episode.
You know something that I realized? The reason why you always bring up the outfits and I don't is because I've seen them all 20 times.
Right.
And so they don't strike me as weird anymore. So you're seeing for the first time and you're like, that's a lot of pearls.
So here's the thing about this. You know when you're a kid and you raid your mother's jewelry box and you put everything on and then your mom takes that picture and everyone like has that picture of them with too many necklaces on?
Right.
I actually have one of those pictures, except it was taken 5 years ago when I was in Hedda Lettuce's drag closet.
Gotcha.
So I'll post that as my thing. I just put on like all of his jewelry. But that's what that reminded me of. And then I was trying to think of that Chanel quote where it's like, accessorize, take one thing off.
Yeah, one thing off.
Yeah.
Imagine how many pearls she had on before.
Right. Like, if she went by that quote, she must have been. And then I'm also like thinking of really Fiddler on the Roof, where Fru Masera's just like, pearls, pearls.
I also feel like it has to be heavy.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, my
gosh. Maybe that's her cardio.
I mean, I, as a woman in her 30s, have definitely toned down my look, which says a lot. And I used to wear some of these costume pieces that I know gave me migraines.
Yeah, so Charlotte says that she's doing good. She doesn't need time. She's moved on. She's doing great.
She's got a time step.
Yeah. And then we have our first instance of a recurring character that we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, Susan Sharon.
Susan Sharon is back.
Sassy, and she wasn't blonde before.
No, I think she had darker hair. She probably whatever project
she was
working on. And Balducci,
she was a brunette. That is Susan Sharon, right? The one of Balducci's, whose husband wasn't very nice to her.
Who was horrible. That was a horrible episode. That was The Awful Truth was that episode.
Yeah, we were mad about that.
We did not enjoy that one.
Yeah, she is back and she is intense.
I mean, that was kind of her before. Once again, this actress is Molly Price.
So what's new? What's going on with you?
Yeah, she's the good old Susan Sharon that we remember and don't love.
The song that's playing in the background is called The Eighth Avenue Shuffle.
Okay. We have, like, What's New With You, and Carrie's like, the usual.
Writing, gallivanting, eating, the usual.
And there's kind of that awkward moment of, like, I think you're forgetting something. Yeah. Yeah, she forgot that she's engaged.
Yep. And Susan's like, where's the ring?
Yeah, looks at her hand, of course. That's what you would do.
Yeah, and at this moment, I was like, ooh, she doesn't. This wasn't like the one, there's a moment later where I thought, oh, she doesn't want to get married, but this was the moment where I was like, she's not excited about this.
Well, what I wrote here was, are we still buying the closer to my heart thing?
Yeah.
Like, are we still like, oh, it's sweet, or are you trying to hide it amongst all of your pearls?
Right. Which, I know a guy who does not listen to this podcast, and I haven't talked to him in years, so it's fine, but he used to wear rings on every finger to distract the fact that he had a wedding ring on.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's healthy.
Yeah.
So Susan Sharon is putting a lot of pressure on about booking a place. That is true. Like, in New York, if you want to do something, you kind of do have to book ahead of time. But Carrie is clearly not engaged.
Yeah,
like, she clearly
feels
awkward.
It's so stressful, the idea of a wedding.
Yeah, it is. I mean, truly, truly, I would have a backyard barbecue is sort of like my idea of, like,
the
perfect wedding.
Yeah, the words of Jem, truly outrageous.
Truly outrageous. I thought it was the words of you.
Well, I am Jem.
So we get to the next morning, and Samantha and Richard are having a lot of fruit.
Yeah, another wasted breakfast spread.
It's a lot of extra food. We sort of get to J.J. Mitchell's column.
Can we talk about J.J. Mitchell for a second?
Yeah.
At first glance, I was like, is that Lin-Manuel? And did he gain a couple pounds?
Only this was 2001.
Right, and that was like my immediate thought after was like, oh, yeah, duh, that's not him. But it kind of, can you see where I see that in, like, a first split second?
Sure.
So, yeah, that was what I thought at second. And also, like, no shade to Mark, who plays JJ.
So, for the record, this is our second recurring character on this show.
Oh, really?
I cannot claim any credit for it.
Okay.
This actor is Mark Grapey.
Yeah.
He was in the episode Where There's Smoke.
Okay.
He is the guy that hits on Charlotte and Carrie while they're waiting at the bar, and then the guy that Charlotte thinks is cute punches him out.
Yes!
Hey, beautiful. I'm JJ. Can I buy those sweet lips a drink?
Like, how could you forget that?
Yeah, but doesn't that also look like Lin-Manuel?
For the record, Lin, if you're listening to this, which you're not, I do not think that looks like Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Kind of, like Lin-Manuel with short hair. Now it doesn't.
But, like, remember that scene?
Yeah,
that
now
was such
I do.
A memorable scene.
Yeah.
So apparently, when they were writing this and they were coming up with a column, they had liked him so much in that scene. They were like, let's just have him come back and he'll be JJ. His name was JJ in that episode. We'll give him a last name and have him be a columnist and he'll be, like, the same character. Anyway, I think it's kind of funny because I did not recognize him at all.
He's kind of smarmy, so that would make perfect sense.
Totally makes
sense. And also, Mark, like, when I feel bad because I said, like, Lin-Manuel, if he had gained a few pounds, like, I'm not at all telling you that you need to lose weight at all. I just thought that, like, a fuller look.
Mark, if you're listening, which you're not.
I just want everyone to know that, like, I'm not shaming them.
I feel you.
Thank you.
So did you read the headline?
I just wrote canoodling.
Yeah, Hotel King Richard Wright, canoodling sassy socialite BB London at post-gala party at Sushi Samba. R.I.P.
Oh, I didn't read that part. Yeah. R.I.P. Sushi Sambs. Also about Mark, too, is I did some research on him as an actor, and he is a very successful Chicago actor. He's currently in Chicago Med, I believe.
Yeah, I believe. Yes, he is.
Yeah, but he's works all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's great in this role,
I
think.
He's terrific.
I love, like, how he's, like, calls her Jonesy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that
Well, it's funny because it establishes, like, a relationship between them, which is then also funny if you think of him as being the same character that once got punched at a bar hitting on Charlotte.
But also makes sense.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Sometimes when there's an actor with a very strong theater background, those are the ones that I'm usually like, they did a really good job with this part.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a reason. There's a reason why they cast so many theater people.
Yeah.
It does feel like Sam waits to confront JJ until Richard's in the shower.
Yeah.
Like, you sort of get the feeling that she doesn't want Richard to know that she's having this conversation.
No, because that would mean that she is more than just an F-bud.
So this, I'm going to write this down now, but we'll talk about it. I wrote this down now, but we'll talk about it more later, because I wrote this down when listening to, this was one of the commentary episodes, obviously, since I knew the JJ thing. I wrote this down here, but it doesn't become clear for everyone until later, just that none of these women know how to be where they are. That feels like it's a theme of the episode, and we can expand more upon that later. But it just occurred to me in this moment.
Like, that, being present.
Right. That they're all in situations that they don't exactly know how to handle.
If they figure it out, can they just let me know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Another interesting thing about JJ's office is in the back, you see that all he has on his desk is two bottles of Advil, some Pepcid, and a cup of chapsticks. Wait, a cup of chopsticks.
Gotcha, okay.
Which is two very different things. Yeah.
So they have some professional business talk.
Guess which two-bit gossip columnist is talking out of his ass?
Hey, believe me, I'd rather be talking out of your ass, Jonesy, so just say the word.
Just their whole back and forth between the two of them is pretty vulgar. And then Sam confronts Richard in the shower.
J.J. Mitchell's column said you were canoodling with B.B. London. He's an idiot. Just giving you a heads up.
Oh, hey, all press is good press, right?
Yeah, and she's clearly disappointed that it's true.
Right, but also the way Richard responds is so Mr. Big.
So you were canoodling with Baby London?
Is that a problem?
Yeah, she's disappointed and then pretends and then joins him and is surprised by the shower head. Like, she's never done that before.
Yeah, no, that's like an she's old like, Samantha Jones trick.
Yeah, no, she knows what's happening there.
Maybe he has better water pressure than she does.
We cut to another shower head.
And in a more modest shower uptown.
Clever, clever cut. With Aiden joining Carrie. And this is, I mean, if anyone watches The Mindy Project, this just reminds me there's a scene in that about how, like, two people in a shower is never how it seems on film and TV. Because, like, one of you is cold.
Yeah.
There's not really enough room for two people in that kind of a shower.
No, and then...
it's super... I'll be done in a minute.
Carrie makes the comment that for a shower with so little water pressure, she makes it later. But the first thing I noticed when they got in the shower was, wow, that seems like a lot of water and very good water pressure.
Yeah, it's good water pressure. It's nice. Yeah, it looked nice and toasty.
I mean, I guess that's the magic
but
of
that
TV.
That wouldn't be a funny line. The washer and dryer is on the way. That is the New York dream.
Yeah, that's very exciting. I have a IKEA bag full of laundry in my bedroom right now that I'm just like, I don't want to carry that to the laundromat. And I drop my laundry off. Mike doesn't.
No, I actually spend my day doing laundry.
And he talks about Hawaii.
Yeah.
We could get Maui'd.
Hey, buddy, did you just run in the nude?
And she has for sure worn stranger things than a grass skirt.
That's actually pretty normal. If she wore that grass skirt, I'd be like, Carrie's outfit's a little bit seasonal, but it's fine.
And he switches to Aspen. And yeah, she's feeling the pressure. Yeah, it's getting worse and worse.
This is when I wrote she isn't into it.
Yeah. So we cut to Miranda's sonogram.
Mm-hmm.
This doctor's name is Tammy.
Tammy? Not even Dr. Tammy.
No doctor. No, she's just Tammy.
Just credited as Tammy. Love a Tammy.
Lisa Tharps,
who is a actress with a lot of credits, but also, once again, she is like very classically trained and does a lot of classical theater.
Yeah, and she had a run in the second season of Jessica Jones on Netflix, which is that's how I recognize her because I watched that. But yeah, she's great. Doesn't get a whole lot to do or including a title, but Sammy.
But I love how excited she is to tell her.
Yeah, she can tell her the sex of the baby.
It's a boy. How do you feel?
She's like, oh.
Oh, okay. And then she sort of has to like fake it. She feels like to make the doctor feel better. So we cut to Broadway in the 80s.
Yep, I knew that because I see Zabar's in the
Carrie
background.
Carrie is a spring goddess. Okay. She has her little like tiara made of
Can
like,
I have
wigs.
Another moment here? Yeah, she has a cropped button-down blouse with a tied-up t-shirt underneath it.
Yeah.
So it's like a layered crop set. And then she has a belt around her waist, which matches the skirt she's wearing. However, the belt is not attached to any item of clothing. The belt is just a waist belt. If she was in ballet class, I would say maybe it's there to check her alignment, but no. And then she has a skirt, and then she has a crown of moss.
Yeah. The thing is, I think she looks so good. Like, I love this
outfit. I
mean,
outfit. She looks good. She looks I just don't know what's happened. Like, what the point of it. They walk by
Pat Fields.
An advertisement for American Pie 2.
Yeah, he talks about how he wanted to get that removed and they wouldn't take it because he hated the fact that it was in the background.
Because it does give a certain era.
Absolutely,
Also, you just said Pat Field. I said Lin-Manuel. We're those people that sound like they're friends with the people.
Oh, we are. We go way back.
Yeah, like when everyone's just like, oh, you know, Steve Sondheim.
My friend Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's H&H Bagels and Zabar's in the background. This is something that I'm going to bring up a couple times. And by that, I mean literally, I think, a couple times. Wouldn't you react the same no matter what the sex of the baby is?
That's what I thought earlier. I'm not someone who...
Like, you're like,
pregnant,
oh, congratulations.
Number one.
But I don't understand the whole thing of, like, it's a boy!
I think...
thank goodness.
I think Miranda's just so confused about... Are you talking about...
Talking about Carrie's reaction.
Yeah.
Talking about the doctor's reaction, Carrie's reaction. Yeah. Like, it's a baby. Aren't you happy no matter which sex it is?
Yeah, I mean, I think some people who maybe have had, like, a lot of girls are
sure,
like, finally,
that
ready
is
for
the
a boy.
Exception.
Or I'm sure, like... Bunny would be like, it's a boy. Yay, they can
carry on
the
name.
Family name. Yeah, but I think, but Miranda's also indifferent to kind of the whole thing right now.
I just think the reaction is strange. And Carrie doesn't even want to look for a dress.
Me, no dress. What's wrong here?
No, it's like the dentist.
You put it off and put it off, and then you finally go, and afterwards you feel great.
Oh my God, I have to go to the dentist.
I totally wrote, for the record, we all need to go to the dentist.
That is actually something I am very good about.
Oh, it's been a while.
I don't have good teeth, but I do. I get my cleaning every 6 months. I'm fully up to date on everything.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
So Miranda suggests they go and try on bad wedding dresses.
And then go to Tasty Delight.
Yeah, that was such a thing.
Yeah, it was. And I remember when I went to New York for the first time, we all went to Tasty Delight, and I loved Tasty Delight when I first moved here. For those of you who don't know Tasty Delight, it's like a diet soft serve.
Yeah, and here's my thing about Tasty Delight. It tastes good, but if you didn't tell me the flavor ahead of time, I'd be like, well, it tastes like cold sweet.
Yeah, now,
like there's
I mean,
no
at the time, I was like, I was such a hardcore dieter, and by dieter, I mean like a sweet potato with spray butter and Splenda, like not
right.
a good, like a chemical consumer.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was magical. Are there any Tasty Delights left? There used to be one I know in Times Square that's not there anymore. There also used to be one right by the Time Warner Center. Next to that Starbucks.
I actually don't...
And there used to be one on the Upper West Side between like 85th and 86th.
Yeah, there used to be one, I want to say, on 72nd Street.
Yeah.
Like, there were a lot of them. And then I think that at some point they became like Tasty Delight, like got absorbed by other stores.
Right. They would just have like a Tasty D.
Yum.
Gross.
So in reality, this location is right where they are. So we get to the buying of the wedding. And I did a lot of research on this.
Oh, good. I'm glad we don't have to look for it.
So when she says there's a wedding dress place up a few blocks, they're standing outside of the wedding dress
okay.
store that they're about to go into. I was very confused because this is now a Leitner's Linen and Home.
Yeah.
And I can't remember it not being a Leitner's Linen and Home, but after a lot of researching, this used to be an RK Bridal.
Okay, there still is RK
Bridal. Yeah, that still exists, not in this location. This is literally like kitty corner to the Barnes & Noble.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there on 82nd and Broadway. Anyways, it took me a minute because I didn't realize that it used to not be a Leitner's Linen and Home. But yeah, this was RK Bridal.
And for the record, RK Bridal is not like a crappy bridal shop.
No, it's a really nice bridal shop. So I'm kind of surprised they allowed them to do this.
And I have a lot of thoughts about this. And I'll just give you my one. I'm sorry, are you done?
No, yeah, I was going to say we meet Rita.
Yeah, so before they do this, my mom is a bridal consultant and I used to work as like a person in the shop. Like what they're doing is the worst. Like those bridal consultants, it's like going to a restaurant and saying, we're just going to sit at your table for a really long time
and
just
like
joke around, but not
maybe,
order anything.
Right, yeah.
So they all work off commission. And people for a while before things got like a little more serious, I feel like with the bridal industry, they would come in and just like want to play dress up. And that's, you know, like, and a lot of these women, those dresses are heavy. And now this also wasn't accurate. Like, there's no way that a bridal consultant would just be like, here's some dresses, have fun. Like, they're usually in the dressing room with
right.
you.
Well, maybe that's in the universe in which this is a crappy bridal place.
Right. So, yeah, we meet Rita, played
Rita,
by...
Alice Spivak?
Yep. She has a book out called How to Rehearse When There's No Rehearsal. She also teaches acting currently, so...
She was also in a movie with Sarah Jessica Parker called If Lucy Fell, and I kind of couldn't help but wonder if that was part of... I couldn't help but wonder if that was part of the connection there. But she's really funny. I mean,
yeah.
She just clearly doesn't approve.
No.
Like, she's not into it. They also give... They're really funny, and clearly SJP and Cynthia Nixon are having, like, a fun time in this scene. And they're really funny playing off each other, but it's weird. Like, the description of the wedding is weird.
Is this a lesbian wedding?
Oh, no. It's very straight-laced, conservative crowd. A lot of Wall Street type.
And, like, she got everything but the groom. So they're trying on dresses for a wedding that's going to happen, but they don't have a groom yet. Like, it's just bizarre to me. So they both emerge wearing poofy dresses.
Now, when I worked at the bridal shop, it was around this time, actually. It was probably 2001. And those dresses hadn't completely been phased out of the shop yet. Those, like, really 90s, 80s dresses. Because there were some women that still wanted that.
The thing is, like, they're not great dresses, but they're actually not like, I feel like you could alter those dresses.
I mean, you would have to take off the sleeves.
Yeah, you would take off the sleeves. You would take off some of the poofiness.
They're awful.
So Carrie starts to freak out.
Yep, she gets on her pedestal and she starts to freak out, having anxiety. Get it off, rip it.
Tells her to rip it. I'm not sure that Miranda telling her that her back is all red is helpful.
Right, but, you know, I think in the moment they're not trying to be...
Yeah, Miranda has to rip the dress, which bothers me every time I watch it.
Right, but something happens later on which makes me feel better about it.
Okay. So Carrie basically says she can't get married. We cut to a brunch and...
Carrie can't get married.
Charlotte blames Miranda.
This is all your fault. How could you take her to that dump?
It was an experiment. It went awry.
And then we see the back of Miranda's shirt, which says Exhibition Fashion Music, which I Googled to see if it was like an actual exhibition. I couldn't find anything.
Okay.
But in case anyone's wondering what her shirt says...
Yeah, Carrie has a rash.
Yeah, once you get a rash from a guy, it's time to heave home.
No, it's not him. It's me. I'm missing the bride gene.
But she's talking about how her relationship with Aiden is good. If it ain't broke.
Don't marry it.
They're all having... I was confused as to, like, the meal they're having because it's coffee, but they're just all eating bowls of romaine without dressing. So it's like salads and coffee.
Yeah, very healthy. You get to the whole, like, not dying alone thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've said this before, but you can get married and still die alone. In fact, you probably will. You don't get married and then, like, usually fall asleep and... I don't know. It's...
Mike and I just watched Titanic. You can die with someone else. The couple in the bed. The older couple.
Oh, right.
They wanted to die together. That movie is terrible. I mean, it's a good movie, but it's just, like... I'm still messed up about it.
See, the rest of us got it out of our system in, like, 1998.
I know, but that was only my second time seeing it.
Yes.
And the first time was in 1998.
Charlotte talks about that it gave her a sense of security at a certain time. And then, you know, says that every bride is unsure at one point. And you know, it's a fair point of, like, then why aren't they speaking up? Like,
Charlotte was unsure.
Yeah. And I have friends that have, like, had children and been like, this is really hard. And parents are like, yeah, it's really hard having a kid. And then kind of being like, well, then why didn't you tell me that? Like, why do you pretend like everything is so easy? And we get to, like, the hard question of why did you say yes?
Because I love him. A man you love kneels in the street and offers you a ring. You say yes, that's what you do.
Look, you get married, you hope for the best. It doesn't work out, you get divorced. You can take tap with Bojangles over here.
I actually know people that have gotten married with the idea of, like, I'd like to marry you. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But that brings up the other question of, like, can you get married if you don't know that it will mean forever?
I don't know.
And Miranda suggests that she talk to Aiden about it.
In my single brain, the idea of marriage... And all of my friends that have been married that have, like, are still married, when they got engaged, they were surprised, but they weren't shocked. Like, they knew, like, they didn't know what was happening, but they also had, like, talked about this and, like, knew that this was the person that they wanted to spend forever with.
We kind of brought that up during the engagement episode.
So I think that, like...
You kind of should know ahead of time this is going to happen. We're both on the same page.
And I don't know anyone personally that's ever been like, I don't know if this is forever, but I like him or I like her. You know,
Miranda, the lawyer, has to bring up reasonable doubt.
Right.
And then we sort of bring up the anxiety threshold of, like, just maybe hers is higher than other people's.
I mean, I've had this with other experiences in life where I get to this idea of, like, oh my God, I made this decision and it's forever. And, well, you know, any decision that's forever sometimes causes someone stress.
Yeah. So we get to Carrie writing her column.
So before this, she says the dress outside the dumpster at Tasty D.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if she says Tasty D, but Tasty Delight. So they bought it.
Yeah, they did pay for it.
Right. So that gave me a little less. Because I was like, did they rip that dress and then just leave it for
Rita? You were less angry on your mom's behalf.
Yeah. The question, are we just programmed?
We talk about certain life targets. The idea that we're all supposed to get married, have kids.
Right. And we talk about box checking.
Right.
Mike's laughing at a box joke. But no, but we've talked about that many times.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Charlotte's the queen of box checking.
Yeah.
Mike, why are you being me right now?
It's pretty funny. Yeah, and then the question, are we just programmed? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we kind of are.
I think in so many, I think I've talked about this book before, maybe I haven't, but in The Four Agreements, it's that it's a book that's not about like this kind of stuff, but they talk about all the agreements we've made. Like, we've agreed to go to school at this point, and like, we've agreed to do this. And it's a great book that has nothing to do with this, but that's the kind of idea. Like, how many things in life are we just like, well, I have to do this thing, so I'm supposed to do this thing, so I'm going to do this thing.
Yeah, I've said before, I don't know what came first, the romantic comedy or the need for your life to play like a romantic comedy. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like we're so in that zone of like, no, this is what I'm supposed to do next.
And it hasn't gotten better thanks to social media.
Yeah.
No, like, it's now very we're just much, seeing yeah. like everyone's highlight reel all the time.
So yeah, I do think we're programmed. I absolutely do. So she is now, just because I think always think it's funny, we've talked about this before, that it seems like they choose a location and they film everything they mm-hmm. can there. So Carrie is crossing the street, and if you look on the right side of the screen, you can actually see the letters RK.
Oh, wow.
Because that's the RK Bridal okay. right there. So she's crossing towards Barnes & Noble. She's going to start smoking again.
Yep, and then she decides, nope, just get some bridal mags.
Get some bridal magazines. So she's sort of leafing through them as Aiden is working on the apartment next door, figuring out what kind of bride she could be.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, freaks out.
He is pounding through the wall, starts yeah, breaking it. Breaking so she down goes the to wall. The other apartment. I was like, wow, that's exposed brick.
Yes.
I don't know. That's just like, that's like a, I hope they don't ruin all of it.
Yeah.
That's a selling point. And she starts freaking out.
I cannot, I'm having a very strong reaction to all this change.
Okay,
I can't.
Don't freak out.
I am freaking out.
She's not being completely upfront, but she really does get there eventually of, I don't think I'm ready to get married yet.
Yeah. And he says, hey, sit.
Yeah. And how much time do you need?
Well, she goes into child's pose yeah, first.
Yeah, I liked the child pose, actually.
Yeah, she says, I don't think I'm ready to get married yet. Do you hate me? And he says, how much time do you need? Blah, blah, blah. End of the year. And she goes, which year?
And I wrote, oof.
Yeah.
And in the moment, he's pretty understanding.
Oh, he's great in yeah. this moment. He's like, so you just need some time. And he smiles yeah. throughout the whole thing. And
thank you, Aiden. Thank you for listening. I love you.
At this moment, you're still like, okay, they're going to be okay.
Yeah. Would you like to introduce the next scene?
Mike, what does my thing say?
Magda in very large letters.
Yes. Because Miranda is sitting there.
I'm going to pay you for a whole month, okay?
Oh, look what I found on the kitchen counter.
And that's Magda. Yeah, Magda's there. I'm like, what are you paying her for the month for? What has she done? For not being there?
So this is the thing about this particular character. This is indicative of me accidentally spoiling things without realizing that I am. Because when Magda came along in like the beginning of the third season, and I was like, this is Lynn Cohen, she plays Magda. In my mind, this character is so a part of Sex and the City that it didn't even occur to me they were not going to see her again for like a year and a half.
Yeah, so everyone built up my expectations. I don't know if you guys saw on Instagram, but I posted...
I know, you sent that. You sent this picture to me of like, I found Magda, and I almost texted back, you're about to find her again.
Yeah, and my friend texted me. I was like, I found Magda serving me my lunch and sent me that receipt. Yeah, it's like, where's she been? But of course, pay her for a month. Sure, she hasn't been there, but that's fine.
She's there all the time.
I want that job where you don't do anything, but you get paid for a month.
And she sees the sonogram and once again freaks out over it being a boy. A boy is highest blessing. Huh.
Hmm.
Curious, Magda.
What is Magda's nationality?
I do not know.
Polish?
Could be. And then we're back at tap class.
We're back at tap class.
And now, yeah, this is where I wrote down more about Andre DeShields. He's an Emmy Award winner for Ain't Misbehavin'.
Love that show.
Yeah, he was nominated for 2 Tony Awards for Play On and The Full Monty, which I saw him in.
Mm.
He was the original Wiz in The Wiz.
Which I was a pit singer in. Not the original, but in high school.
He is currently...
Don't you carry nothing that might be a load.
That's truck driving alto right there.
Yeah.
He's currently actually on Broadway
yeah.
in Hadestown.
It hasn't opened yet.
I think it's maybe in previews.
April 19th, I think it
I
opens.
Would like to see it.
I would too.
So they all pair off in our tea for two, and Charlotte
Eva
Noblezada
was incredible in Miss Saigon. Eva Noblezada?
Yes.
She was incredible in Miss Saigon.
Is she in Hadestown?
Yeah, yeah, oh, okay. yeah. I'm not just saying, like, I mean, it would be so strange of me to just randomly make a Miss Saigon reference. Yeah, so it's time for her to go across the floor. And I'm like, why won't no one volunteer? Why won't the teacher?
Why doesn't the teacher go?
Yeah. Also, come on, Andre.
There would be way more women in that class, I feel like.
Who knows? But there's been so many times when I've taken, like, beginner dance for musical theater at BDC, and I've had to, like, go across the floor by myself.
Yeah, it's pretty typical.
I don't have a partner.
Just go it alone.
I don't want to go it alone.
You'll be fine. Come on, Flowers.
I can't do this. I'm sorry. I can't, and I shouldn't have to. I deserve a real partner, and this song is abusive and hurtful.
Should I stop?
And you should think about how a person would feel who's going through a very difficult divorce and who just comes here to have fun and feel good about themselves.
Also, Charlotte's in like a full rehearsal skirt in tap class, which I love. Like a long, like flowing modern dance rehearsal skirt.
The next week, we all put on our finest and gathered at the Black and White Ball, Richard Wright's charity fundraiser.
For someone, and I understand why this happens because of the end of the episode, but it's a black and white ball, which means you can wear black, you can wear white, or you can wear a mix of the both. And for someone who just had an anxiety attack over wearing a wedding dress, perhaps she could have worn a black dress. I understand why they do it.
Yeah, that's the point.
I know, but I get why costuming did this. I don't understand why Carrie Bradshaw did this.
Because I don't think she looks at this as a wedding dress. I'm sure she's worn white before.
But she looks like she could just get married. And I also understand that's the point. But I'm just, in my brain, I didn't know that. I'm watching this for the first time.
But I didn't watch it the first time thinking that. So I think it just depends. Like, I think for me, I just thought it was a pretty white dress. Mm. But yeah, clearly we're getting her into a wedding-like dress. Now, for some reason, I think this show must have convinced me the black and white ball was, like, an actual occurrence that happens frequently. And it's not. It's based on a very famous ball thrown by Truman Capote in 1966.
Oh, I mean, there's white parties.
Sure. That's very different than the black and white ball, though.
Right. Like, white parties are, like, on the Hamptons, where it's, like, everyone dresses in all white.
I was thinking of the white party that happens in Miami that's, like, a gay, like, circuit party.
Or the black party that happens in New York. Yeah, those are very
put those together, and this isn't what you get.
No, they often have, like, and there's also a rapper, I feel like, who hosts, or, like, I know Kanye and Kim are always seen at, like, these parties where everyone's wearing all white, and I'm just thinking, like, I would spill all over that and start my period.
All at once.
And probably shit my pants.
Aiden looks so handsome in a tux.
Yeah.
How's he doing?
It's good. Still a little thrown by the change in plans, but good. I just hope I did the right thing.
You followed your feelings. That's always the right thing to do.
Do you realize you're growing a teeny tiny penis inside you?
Which, of course, then makes Charlotte be like, you're having a boy!
Yeah.
Calm down. It's great that it's a boy, but it'd also be great if it's a girl.
Yeah. Samantha also has a penis in her.
In a little bit.
Yeah.
Guess which hotel king is having very private relations with a very public New York woman?
Oh, I guess the cat's out of the bag.
Oh, it's out of the bag.
Yeah, it reveals that Richard is dating another woman.
Another woman.
Judith McBain.
Right, but Samantha at first thinks...
Oh, yeah, thinks they're talking... Oh, the cat's out of the bag.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, Samantha McBain, played by Caprice Benedetti.
Yes, Judith McBain.
What did I say?
Samantha McBain.
Judith McBain, she's insatiable. Word is they've done it in every one of his hotels.
Yeah, Samantha goes back to the group to reveal that she actually cares. Yeah. She caught monogamy.
Yeah, she caught it.
Now it's airborne.
And she's not interested in other guys. And here's the thing. If I look way back in life at having feelings for someone, it is really true. Like, when you first have feelings for someone, I remember, like, when I first started dating my ex, being like, I don't find anyone else attractive. You are the only person that I care about. That really is, like, a new love kind of thing, where, like, all you can see is this person.
Is that kind of like you and I? Like, when you see other women, are you like, I could never imagine doing a podcast with them?
Every time I meet someone new, I'm like, do you want to do a podcast? I got to get out of this. So she goes to confront Richard and trips Judith McBain. I can't really tell what she does to her.
She trips her.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then grabs his crotch.
Mm-hmm.
Tries to convince him to be monogamous for business reasons.
He's like, this is a black and white ball, not a black and blue ball.
Ha ha.
Grow up. Stop fucking other women. Just fuck me.
Come on. We're not the monotonous, I mean monogamous type.
Well, maybe I am.
Gorgeous. I'm not.
So she has sex with JJ in the restroom.
Yeah, which was an awkward sex scene. Also, JJ, though, so this is me really going in depth with JJ's character, but when we first see JJ in the scene, he goes, which makes you think he's done some cocaine.
Sure.
And then in the bathroom, he goes soft.
Right.
So he's probably just too inebriated with all the alcohol and cocaine.
Oh, Jonesy, I can't believe this is happening. This never happens to me. I can give you a list of women who this has never happened with.
And he's like, yeah, whacking it in the corner. So she leaves and
runs into Richard,
who approaches her and is like, listen, I've been thinking about this. And I'm like, yes. And then JJ cuts from behind. He's like, and then I'm thinking maybe Richard's going to say, never mind. But he is happy. He's like, you know what? Great. We're
on the same page.
I love it. And then we cut to
Carrie and Aiden by the fountain at the plaza.
Yep.
We've had a couple of important scenes happen around here
at the plaza.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
it does all look very wedding-y.
It does look very wedding-y. And he says, you know, I've been looking at you and you've never looked more beautiful than you do tonight. Let's get married tonight.
And she kind of laughs it off.
Let's get in a cab, go to Vegas. Apparently they're going to drive there.
Yeah, he says, let's just do it airport Vegas.
Oh, okay.
No muss, no fuss.
Aiden.
Seriously.
That's funny.
Come on.
I kind of can't tell if he's kidding or not.
No.
Like,
and
she's kind of,
I mean, I'm a little bit Team Carrie at this moment because they just had a whole conversation while she was in child's pose, resting pose, saying, I'm not ready. And he says, you need time. They settled on that. And now he's like, let's just do it tonight. Aiden misunderstood the assignment.
Yeah, I think Aiden's had a couple of champagnes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, and you know, Michael Patrick King kind of says that they decided this was the moment that Aiden would decide that he could say what his feelings were.
Right, and I wrote, Aiden is speaking up.
Yeah.
And
what about what we discussed? And he's ready for marriage. That's what people do.
And then I thought, even when Aiden yells, it doesn't seem mean until, but I hadn't gotten that far. Once again, watching for the first time.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem mean. And then
I want to make this official and lock this thing down. Carrie, I want the whole wide world to know that you're mine.
Who else's would I be?
You don't even wear that ring on your fucking finger. This is when I thought, oh, he does kind of sound mean.
Yeah, he this gets dramatic very quickly.
I love you, but I can't marry you to make you trust me. Look at me. Look at me before we make a huge mistake.
If you don't want to marry me right now, you'll never want to marry me.
That's not true.
I think it is.
And I just wrote, this sucks.
Yeah.
And he says he's going to sleep in the other apartment tonight. And he says the line, I can't believe I'm back here again. And I only bring that up because apparently that was in the original script. And just on one take, John Corbett remembered that that had been a line and just said it. Which is why Sarah Jessica Parker's reaction is so, like, sort of visceral to it. Because it really was almost a surprise to hear him say it. But it's a heartbreaking, horrible, awful, sad moment.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, I gave everything for you, and now here it is again. And I do feel, I was Team Carrie at the beginning of the conversation, but I do feel like if you're not ready to marry this man right now, then when will you be?
And I guess my response to that is, it did all happen so quickly.
Yeah, like, all of this.
Should she not have said yes to the engagement? Should she have
said... No, I don't think she should have, because she was still talking... Like, I think her relationship with Big is inappropriate, and I think that the fact that she doesn't see that is inappropriate, and it obviously affects him, and I think... I don't know. I have a lot of feelings about it, but...
Well, we do have a quick scene with Miranda.
Yeah, she feels the baby kick, and now I think it's going to turn for her.
Yeah, now it kind of, like, kicks in of, like, oh, she can feel it. And then we get back to Carrie in bed, kind of playing with the ring. And then she goes next door
to Aiden to sleep with him on those weird, like, Home Depot moving blankets, the ones that you line the truck with.
There are some walls you can push through and some you can't.
Yep. And then the big kicker:
the next day Aiden moved out.
So we'll get back to the episode in a minute, but I just want to paint a picture. Hey Wonders, clearly something went kind of weird with my microphone at this point, so there's a strange echo for the rest of the episode, but just when I'm talking, and we're almost to the end, so hopefully it's not too distracting. Enjoy the rest of the episode. January 20th, 2002. It was the Golden Globes, one of my favorite nights of the year.
Okay.
Sex and the City won for Best Comedy. SJP won for Best Actress in a Comedy for the third year in a row. Super fun night. I was living on the second floor of this building in my one bedroom. A coworker, a friend of mine, was crashing on my futon for this month. He was straight, and not that that indicates that he wouldn't be into Sex and the City, but he wasn't into Sex and the City. So we had watched the Golden Globes in my living room, and then I was like, I'm going to go to bed. Not really. I'm going to go to my room where I recorded on my VCR. This was 2002, to that night's episode of Sex and the City. And I watched this episode, and was destroyed by it. And then, like, knocked on the door to the living room and was like, I know that you don't watch this show, but I just really need to talk to somebody. And went and sat on the futon and, like, cried as I, like, described what had just happened in this episode. Anyways.
What was his response?
I think he was he's a sweet guy. He was very nice and very understanding and, yeah. But, yeah.
You can never make fun of me.
I can. I absolutely can make fun of you.
But you shouldn't.
I should. It's fun.
I know, but you do stupid things, too.
I do stupid things all the time.
Yeah.
I've never denied that. But yeah, so
there, wait, what's that Aiden line? All the time? The whole time?
No, Carrie says every time, yeah. Every single time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Carrie.
Wow.
Not Aiden at all. Aiden says, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah, that's that.
So there you go. That was my night watching this.
I couldn't help but wonder what days Magda works, because she's getting paid for a month. We never see her. Is she just like there on Mondays and Wednesdays? Like, how much does she get paid? Why does Miranda keep her around if she's so offended by everything she does? I want more Magda.
Stay tuned.
Spoiler.
I think she works often. We just don't see her.
Okay.
I'm going to make fun of every single time you say something weird on this podcast, or every time you say and. Or
I'm
every
making
time.
Fun of you because you made fun of me. And that was the last night that Mike lived in my apartment.
We'll come back to this, but I'm not done talking about the episode.
Oh, sorry.
So you talked about being Team Carrie at one point and then Team Aiden at another point. And I think that the point is we're Team Aiden and Carrie. Like, we're Team both of them, just maybe not together. Like, I understand Carrie's point, and I understand Aiden's points.
Right. I think Carrie made a bad choice. Like, she shouldn't have said yes.
But maybe he shouldn't have proposed. Like, if you don't know that someone's going to say yes, or also if you're proposing because you want to lock it down because you think that they're going to end up going back to their ex.
That's inappropriate.
Right. I just think that it's weird to say I love both of these characters. I do. Like, I have great affection for both of these characters. And I think that so much of what they have is great. But I just think that they don't fundamentally, in this place where they are, work. So that's all.
Aiden, if you're single.
He's not. He's been married to, like, Bo Derek for a really long time. I couldn't help but wonder how long Sam thinks she can keep going like this. How long she can keep doing the, I don't really care that much. I don't know. I don't know how long you can pull that off for.
I have a few experiences with that.
But while actively sleeping with someone.
Yeah. No.
You know? I don't know. I don't think that charade can last much longer. But there you go.
Ooh, I like the use of charade.
Me too.
I think it's charade.
I say charade.
Facade. Facade.
No, that's definitely facade.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Let's. All right. Next week. See ya.
Bye.
You can visit us at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBWpodcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out theaterpodcastproductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. And don't forget to change your settings to play in sequential order. Join us next week for Ring-a-Ding-Ding. Ampersand? Ampersand, is how you say it? Ampersands?
What is that? Which was that?
It's the little and symbol.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. But that's a really good drag name, like a grammar queen, Amber Sands.
So that indicates that you wrote something together.
Okay, I think it's ampersand.
Okay,
I think
I'll
with
say
a
it
P.
again then. Ampersand. Now I have to say it all again because I can't sound stupid.
No, I think that's great. You let me sound stupid for 4 seasons. Yeah, keep it because I liked my drag reference.
Yeah, so
and
when
just keep me being right for once. And Big makes the comment of...
Big does?
Ooh, yikes. What was that laugh? Wow, that was like villain. She mentions that I'm sorry. Are we done with this scene, really?
No, no. We have so much to do.
Okay.
Wow. So Carrie thinks Aiden's doing good.
Yeah, Carrie thinks she's great. I'm just thinking of myself in this outfit. Just covered in, like, grossness. Oh, God.
Yeah, Carrie mentions that Miranda's growing a tiny penis in her. Picture it. January 20th.
Sicily.
January 20th, 2002.
That was a Golden Girls joke.
Yeah, I made the joke first.
Oh, I didn't know that you were doing Golden Girls,
yes,
too.
Yes, I was.
Like, we're so in tune.
God.